2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. These are God's words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. If you remember from last week in verses 14 and 15, Paul had told Timothy that as someone whom God had saved, someone whom God had brought to the saving knowledge of Christ, so that he not only has the form of religion in which he calls Jesus Lord, but also has the power of religion in which Jesus has taken his heart, taken Timothy's heart as his own and changed his life, that Timothy must continue then as someone whom the Lord has brought to this saving knowledge. Those who are reprobate, those who are disqualified for into the faith, the evil men and imposters, they go from bad to worse. Believers go from good to perfect. They are good in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one reason, of course, why if you ask, or if someone asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm good, and they say, no one is good but God. You say, I absolutely am good. I am united to Jesus Christ by faith. I am good in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we go from good to perfect. Not only does the Lord start a work in us, but he brings it to completion. And so he had told Timothy that he must continue in the things he had learned and been assured of, knowing from whom he had learned them. And we already kind of, it's not really cheating, but we answered the question from whom he had learned them by looking forward to these two verses, verses 16 and 17, and noting that that solves the question, whom does he mean? Because Timothy didn't meet Paul till he was an adult. But Timothy had known the scriptures from his childhood. From his babyhood, he had said. So this from whom he had learned, does it mean Lois and Eunice? Or does it mean Paul? Because up in verse 10, he said, Timothy had carefully followed his doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, etc. And of course, the answer, from whom had he learned them, was neither of them, although it was sort of both of them, instrumentally them, but ultimately the Lord Jesus. And notice that the word doctrine, or the word teaching, that he mentioned in verse 10, you have carefully followed my doctrine, is the first thing in the list in verse 16. It is profitable for doctrine. And so Timothy must continue in what he had learned, which means he must continue in the scriptures. God had taught him, and now Paul tells Timothy in no uncertain terms, the scriptures, that is, the words printed on the page, inscribed, inscripturated on the page, are breathed out by God. They are God's words, God's own words to Timothy personally, just like Timothy had heard Paul breathe out words. And Timothy had learned and followed those things and even gotten to participate in persecutions. And Timothy had heard Lois and Eunice breathe out words to him. But the Bible was every bit as much the script on the pages of the Bible was every bit as much the words of God as Lois's words were Lois's words and Eunice's words were Eunice's words and Paul's words were Paul's words. Isn't this exciting for you, my dear children, my dear wife, that you can have a copy of the Word of God open and the script on the pages is the very words of God. And there's no doubt. You don't have to wish that you could find out somewhere that you could know God's will. No. He has told you. He loves us. And in his love, he has not spoken obscurely in a place that's hard to find, that you have to ascend into heaven to get it, or go down to the abyss to get it. No, like he said in Deuteronomy, his word had come near us. And not only can we have his words on the page, we can have his words in our heart and his words in our mouth. God's words. But that, since they're God's words, we don't get to use them however we want to use them. They're God's words, and so they have to be used for God's work. This means that as we read the Bible, we need to seek from God, take to heart the Bible in the four ways that he describes here. First of all, the scriptures he has given us to be used, to be profited from by way of doctrine. God has given us a theological book. The stories are interesting stories, but they are theological stories. He's teaching us about himself. He's teaching us about ourselves. He's teaching us about his church. He's teaching us about sin. He's teaching us about salvation. He's teaching us how we come to salvation. He's teaching us how it is worked out in the life and heart of a Christian. He teaches us what it looks like to serve him. He teaches us what will happen to us for serving him. He teaches us how he sustains us. He teaches us all of these things. He teaches us how to worship. Teaches us how to repent, which is important because the second use that he gives us for his word is reproof. So it teaches us what is true, but it especially teaches us what's wrong with us. It teaches us where we are thinking wrongly, where we are speaking wrongly. We run ourselves through the scripture scan machine, and we get that full soul MRI that reproves us. It also teaches us correction. It's useful for correction. It doesn't just say, boy, you are really messed up. You should just feel horrible. No, it teaches us what to do. It teaches us not only how to come to the Lord and confess sin and receive that immediate and complete release and relief of his forgiveness, like Psalm 32 teaches us about, and we are just, that he forgives us. It also teaches us what corrections to make in life, how to do better, what to do better. It's not only for teaching and reproof and correction, but also for training in righteousness. I know it says instruction here, verse 16, but it's there are lots of instruction words, and this instruction word especially means training for the building up and strengthening and sharpening, skill building and habit forming, and more, you know, the vivification of the life of Christ in the believer that makes the mortification stick so that the weakening of sin in every part is greater and greater, and sin becomes weaker and weaker in us, and righteousness in our thinking and in our desiring and in our motivation and our action, our speech becomes stronger and stronger. Training trains us up. And so it's God's words for doing God's work in us. Like the evening speaker has been saying, you can't come to the prophets to satisfy vain curiosity about future events. They're intentionally designed not to give us clarity about the future events so much as instruction for how to live in light of those future events. God's word for doing God's work in God's man. What a wonderful encouragement, the first half of verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. Yes, complete for, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But first of all, complete in ourselves. That we are God's work. That we are his new creatures, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Yes, to do good works, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But for just a moment, think about it. God has taken you to be his own, and he's given you the scriptures, which are his own, to do the work in you, which is his own, so that you may become a masterpiece of the Lord, is something that he, in which he takes great pleasure and makes great display of himself and his glory. Behold, it's complete. A man of God. And so we're all masterpieces in progress, aren't we? Some of you are artists and someone wants to look at something, you're not satisfied with it yet. You're like, don't look, it's not done. Well, the Lord is not embarrassed of his work. A work in progress is still a work of the Lord. And it will be done. He who has begun it will complete it. And this continuing in what we have learned has a finish that is perfection. What a great encouragement. So God's words that must be used the way he says, because it's his, for God's works in God's man that he's going to complete. And part of that completion, one of the ways we see the increasing levels of completion is by how the scripture thoroughly equips or thoroughly furnishes this man of God for every good work. He's prepared the good works beforehand for us to walk in. We started to allude a few minutes ago to Ephesians 2:10. And there's not a single good work that he will ever call us to that we are not furnished and equipped entirely for by the Bible. The Bible tells us everything we need to know for every good work that the Lord will ever call us to, which we call, of course, the sufficiency of Scripture. Not just its inerrancy, it can't make any errors, it's God's own words. He cannot lie, he says. His Scripture cannot be broken, he says. It is authoritative, of course, because every time you read the inscripturated words, the script on the pages of your Bible, it is, thus saith the Lord. But it's not just inerrant and authoritative, it's sufficient. It teaches us everything we need to believe and to do for everything the Lord will ever call us to. It is a marvelous gift. And so let us continue in the Bible, God's work, God's word to do God's work in God's man for God's man's works, all of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for lovingly being clear in your speech to us. We pray that you would train our hearts by your Spirit to handle the Bible in a way that corresponds to what we have just been learning and thinking about it from these verses, to what you say about your word, about the scriptures and these verses. Write its truths on our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name.